Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on this Friday evening, it's JJ After Dark, John Jastrzemski, right here on the fan. So to help us get our fantasy lineups to where they need to be, and I know some people maybe didn't follow directions when it comes to Thursday Night Football and getting your lineup to where it needs to be, let's welcome in a guy who always has his lineup set. He's always prepared. He's always on time. The great Jason Katz over at FantasyPros.com. Jason, I know you enjoyed that Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams free-for-all yesterday.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it wasn't a competitive game, but it's always good to see the big-time players lighting it up.
No question. Speaking of big-time player, Antonio Brown, who was somebody we had on our team, you know, as of 2 years ago, one of our favorites, not one of our favorite people, might I add, because, you know, he's done some things that he should be ashamed of. But keeping this on the football field, what are your expectations Sunday? First game back, suiting up with Tom Brady. Can he have fantasy impact?
So in Tampa Bay, we've got Rob Gronkowski. We've got Mike Evans. We've got Chris Godwin returning from injury. Scotty Miller's been playing well. Leonard Fournette's been catching passes. So where does Antonio Brown fit in? That's the question. Well, if his one-game stint on the Patriots last year with Tom Brady is any indication, I believe he commanded 8 targets in that game, and he played just a small percentage of the snap. And I don't have it in front of me. Tom Brady, for some reason, he loves Antonio Brown. They're like best buds. I don't know how this happened, but I mean, they're living together. I firmly believe that Antonio Brown is ready to go. One thing that you can't criticize him for is he always keeps himself in tip-top shape. So there's no question about his physical fitness to play football. Will there be rust? Maybe. I really don't think so. I think he's getting thrust right into not an every down role, but maybe a 40-60% snap share, and that is more than enough to be worth a spot in your fantasy lineup.
Jason, it's always fun to try to figure out a running back carousel. And I know it can be incredibly frustrating for fantasy owners. And last week, Myles Gaskin got a whole lot of touches into his first game. He got a couple of dump offs, he scored a touchdown, but now he's hurt and he's going to miss a couple of weeks. Matt Breida, who they brought in from the San Francisco 49ers, is also hurt. So I'm going to give you two guys. I could claim one or the other. Jordan Howard, who's been in the doghouse all year. The intern, Patrick Laird, who was a fantasy revelation last year. Who would be the guy, Jason, at least for a week or two, you'd be adding in that Dolphin backfield?
If you're taking a shot on anyone in the Dolphins' backfield, I think the only guy worth throwing a dart at, and again, this is mostly a guess, it's not with any degree of confidence, is DeAndre Washington. Because he's the only one that has any real juice in that backfield. We know what Patrick Laird is. He's never going to be anything more than just, you know, what we saw last year as a best-case scenario. Could he handle 25 snaps, 25 touches at a game once in a while? Sure. I definitely prefer Laird to Jordan Howard, because if they had any interest in playing Jordan Howard, we would see him on the field. They signed him. They played him a couple games. Didn't like what they see. They deactivated him. So I'd be shocked if it's him. I would say it's Laird. I mean, Howard will be active. Maybe in there in the goal line, which would be frustrating. I'd say it's Laird and DeAndre Washington. That'll be the primary guy.
Jason is a Cowboys guy. What are we thinking about anybody who is a skill position player? We know the diminished value has been there. It's been obvious. But now we're talking about Garrett Gilbert or Cooper Rush at quarterback. What in the world does that mean for the likes of Zeke and Cooper and Gallup and Lamb? I mean, it's amazing how so many of these guys now have been insanely devalued.
It is incredibly frustrating, obviously, as a Cowboy fan, and just as a football fan, because there are so many matchups. Like, even down the line later in the season, we're going to be deprived of Dak Prescott versus Ben Roethlisberger versus Lamar Jackson. We lost those games that were going to be fun, high-scoring games. This team is the worst team in the league without Andy Dalton. Without Dak, they're bottom five. I mean, with Dalton, they could beat the Jets for sure, but I do believe that with the quarterback they have now, they would lose to the Jets with Sam Darnold. That's how bad this team is. They have scored one touchdown since Dak Prescott went down, and it was in garbage time against the Cardinals. I firmly believe this team is scoring 0 points this week. I would not advise starting any Cowboy. The list of running backs starting over Zeke this week is probably 30 guys long. Do not start him if you have any viable alternative. There's just nothing there. It's so disappointing.
Our fantasy guru, Jason Katz, he joins us each and every Football Friday right here on The Fan. Okay, Jason, before we get to a bunch of start-sit questions from our Twitter following, which has been on fire. I mean, they were into it tonight. They are sending me questions like crazy. Let's get to your matchups of the week. You must play, you must sit. Let's start at quarterback.
This should come as no surprise, but we're going to Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger. I know Carson Wentz struggled a bit last week against the Cowboys, but that's because Carson Wentz isn't actually good. Big Ben, very good. He was undefeated. Ben's coming off a couple lackluster fantasy outings, but this is exactly what he needs. A date with the Cowboys, one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. They're allowing 19.2 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, but I think Ben's going to shatter that this week. They're just going to dominate.
You're in on Ben Roethlisberger. Who are you fading?
I'm fading old man Drew Brees. He's been quite consistent this season, which is a testament to him. He actually has a solid floor in fantasy. So, obviously, if you're looking for a floor play, you've got some injuries, you don't need to go out of your way to avoid Brees. He's got multiple touchdowns in all but one game. But I really don't like the matchup on the road against what I think is the best defense in the league. The Bucs are allowing just 15.2 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. They've allowed 11 passing touchdowns in 8 games. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw like a 220-yard, one touchdown performance with like a pick or two from Brees.
All right. Let's get to running back, Jason. It's tough because you got some bye weeks now working into the mix, but who is your must play at that position?
You got to pick somebody. There's a lot of guys worth playing that normally wouldn't be. This guy, obviously, most people know to play. It's Chase Edmonds. We know Kenyon Drake is out. The last time we saw Edmonds as the primary back in Arizona, he was the overall RB1 against the Giants back in 2019, and he's the primary back this week. The Dolphins are allowing 26.2 fantasy points per game to the running backs, so Chase Edmonds is an RB1 this week.
I like it, considering Chase Edmonds on one of my teams. What running back do we not like here in Week 9?
I mentioned this guy before a little bit, or at least his backfield mates. This is Ronald Jones. I really do think that he has looked fantastic this year. He's played really well. He looks better than Fournette for sure, but we cannot deny what happened last week. Ronald Jones fumbled. It wasn't really his fault entirely, but after that, Bruce Arians said, nope, no more you, Leonard Fournette show. Here are Jones' snap counts from the past 4 weeks in order, going oldest to newest. 69%. 56%, 43%, 24%. You know, I think a trend there? He's just really difficult to trust this week.
We move to wide receiver, Jason. And, you know, some of my favorite wide receivers who I loved going into the draft haven't done a whole lot. I mean, I think about Amari Cooper. We know what happened there. Kenny Golladay, our dude, he can't stay on the field. So who is the wide receiver you have circled for Week 9?
Doubling down. We're going back to Pittsburgh. Deontay Johnson. I bring him up specifically because I know everybody's frustrated. You start him, he gets hurt early, or he doesn't produce like last week. You bench him, he's the wide receiver one. I'm just trying to caution people from not being on the wrong side of the zigzag here with Deontay and not overreacting to last week's dud. It was a tough matchup against an elite Ravens pass defense. Now he gets the Cowboys. They're allowing 1.75 touchdowns per game to wide receivers. Don't overthink it here. He's the wide receiver one in Pittsburgh. Start him.
Who are we fading?
Well, we preempted this a bit before, but we talked about it already, but my fade this week is the Cowboys, all of them, every single one of them. I don't mean to...
I feel like this is becoming a common trend here, Jason, you know? I feel like week after week, it's like fade Cowboys skill position players at all costs.
It's so unfortunate because this was literally the best offense in football from a fantasy perspective, and now it is the worst. It's a 1-32 turnaround, and you've got so many guys that were really strong plays in Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, even Dalton Schultz, and now Nothing. I mean, you can drop CeeDee Lamb, you can drop Michael Gallup, and Amari Cooper is just barely a fringe flex play at best, but I wouldn't start him.
All right, Jason, we got a bunch of Twitter questions. You ready? A little rapid fire?
Let's do it.
First one comes from Nick. Tight end, Noah Fant against Atlanta. Your boy TJ Hockenson against the Vikings. Who are you starting?
I've never been a TJ Hockenson fan. I always thought he was kind of overrated and whatnot, and I still think that, but we're looking at a guy who has 16 targets over the past 2 weeks. He's got five games of at least 50 receiving yards, scored a touchdown in four games. Kenny Galladay is out. I know they may be without Matt Stafford, but I do think ultimately he will get cleared to play, and that makes TJ Hockenson all the more of a strong play as we come to Hockenson.
Jason, this one comes from Chris. He needs to sit one of these three running backs: Zach Moss, Philip Lindsay, Hines from Indianapolis. It's full PPR. Who's sitting? Moss, Lindsay, Hines?
Well, Moss is the first one I'm putting in there just because he split snapped evenly with Singletary last week, and I think they want to push him. So it's between Lindsay and Hines, and the PPR kind of makes it tough. I mean, Lindsay had a nice run last week, but he's still not really a big part of the offense. He did play 45% of the snaps, but he touched the ball, seven times last week? I mean, the matchup for Lindsay is better. I have a hard time trusting him. Jonathan Taylor's looked terrible this season. I mean, it's not just bad luck or whatever it is. He legitimately looks bad.
Are we taking an L on that one, Jason? We both loved him preseason. We taking an L on Jonathan Taylor?
I mean, you know what? If we end up having to take this L, and again, I'm not closing the book on a rookie after a half a season, but it's trending in the wrong direction. And you know what? We'll have learned our lessons with Wisconsin running backs if that happens. It'll be the last time that I ever trust one of them after the Monty Ball disaster and now Jonathan Taylor. And I never thought Melvin Gordon was that good. It took him a couple of years to figure it out. So I'm going the line here.
I got another tight end question for you. And it involves a guy that's near and dear to my heart. Mike Gesicki, Eric Ebron, PPR. One's got to start.
I mean, before the season, I would never – ever said this, but I mean, Mike Gesicki has caught exactly one pass for 8 yards in the past 2 weeks combined on four targets. He's not a part of the offense. I know last week, too, he didn't really have to throw it all because Jared Goff looked giving the ball to the wrong team, but you can't trust Gesicki. Meanwhile, Ebron led the last 2 weeks trending upward. 13 targets total, 10 receptions, 98 yards. He got a touchdown. He's actually had at least 40 receiving yards in 5 out of 7 games. So you got to go with Ebron.
Final one, Jason. Hardman, Shenault, Sterling Shepard. One's got to play half PPR. Who is the Jason Katz choice?
Easiest one of the week. It's staying right here in New York, Sterling Shepard. I mean, this guy is just so disrespected. He was dropping some weeks because he was going to miss 3 weeks with turf toe. He's a good receiver. He's the Giants' number one receiver. He came back immediately right back into his old role. 8 targets, 10 targets, 6 catches, 8 catches, 59 yards, touchdown, 34 yards. No touchdown last week. He's their number one. They're against the football team. They're not the greatest matchup, but it hasn't mattered the last 2 weeks anyway. He has 8 for 74 against Tampa. That's a great performance. I love Sterling Shepard. He's a legit wide receiver 3 every week.
My man, Jason Katz, fantasypros.com, helps you set your lineup each and every football Friday right here on The Fan. Jason, fantastic work. Let's find some winners, my friend, and we will chat and do this again same time, same place next week, okay?
Halfway through the season. Looking forward to it.
Hard to believe, brother. Hard to believe. Enjoy your weekend, all right, bro?
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.